Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Clint Sterner and the show on Sports Radio 610 with the 5 o'clock fire. Presented by Trigger, your full-service safety partner.
Ah, congratulations for getting off on your long work day. And we got the news you need to know. And the biggest news, it's so great when the biggest news in the sports world is the biggest news in Houston. And Major League Baseball has announced an 8-game suspension for Dodgers reliever Joe Kelly after throwing at Astros players on Tuesday night. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts was also suspended for one game, and Dusty Baker was fined. Also, man, $376,000 is what Joe Kelly is going to lose during his time out in his 8-game suspension. Take money away is when guys, I think, will start responding to maybe we need to figure out something else to do to retaliate.
Well, I think that you're going to respond to, you're not going to rub it all in Major League Baseball's face. You got to believe that Rob Manfred in Major League Baseball has warned everybody in the league, probably via the NFLPA, that hey, there's not going to be any retaliation for the Astros. There's not going to be retaliation against the Red Sox. We're not going to deal with that. Particularly not going to deal with it in a 60-game season where social distancing is an issue, and any kind of retaliation would end in a bench clearing brawl, or at the very least, some kind of face to face argument between a coach and an umpire, a coach and a coach, or hell, like last night where all the teams broke every bit of the social distancing rules that are involved. And so not only was it all just rub it in, Joe Kelly didn't just rub it in the face of Major League Baseball that he wasn't going to abide by those requests, but he took the mound with bad intentions. This was not about, this is going to, we make this about.
He threw at multiple guys.
He threw at multiple guys when his ankle got stepped on, when it was clearly in front of the bag, when Brantley stepped on his ankle. He turned and mean mugged him. He then threw over to first when Bregman was on first after he walked him three different times. With a guy that I'm not familiar with how many bases Bregman stole, but he doesn't strike me as the guy that's out there threatening to steal second base. Threw multiple pitches at Yuli, threw multiple pitches at Correa. I mean, this is bad intentions from the time the guy took the field to the time the guy left the field, and he took it to a whole nother level in what his actions meant in terms of rubbing it in Major League Baseball's face. And you add to that, why? You weren't even part of the Dodgers in 2017, man. Like all of those things, it pisses me off just talking about it from a standpoint of it's far and above just throwing at a player's head. Yeah. That's not the only thing that happened here.
I always tell my kids, like, man, I can understand when you mess up, you do stuff, but when you are just blatant and you feel like you come to me like, oh, I just don't give a damn what you're saying.
Right.
I just don't
care. Agreed.
You know what I mean? Hey, son, man, this is his problem. Stop just doing these swan dives on my damn couch. All right, you keep jumping on my couch like it's a wrestling ring. That thing's going to break. 2 minutes later, he's coming in
again.
2 feet foot first. Like, come on, man. I didn't just told you. And you know Major League Baseball, I bet you Rob personally went down and said, hey, we're not playing any games. Y'all going to get hit, man. Don't do it. And Joe Kelly not only wasn't playing any game, he was blatant. Blatant. There were so many keys and things that he did to let you know I did it on purpose.
It was a conscious effort. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't a victim of the moment.
Tongue thing out that he did. That tongue thing he did on purpose. The biggest key where you knew it was on purpose is when he walked Bregman to get him to first base. And as you said, Bregman ain't no – he's still in no bases. They Miles Straw over there. Bregman is leading off. They're throwing over to get these hard tags in his ribs. Yeah. Like, the whole thing was just like, here, I'm hanging him out. I don't give a rip.
Bregman got 34 stolen bases in his career.
I didn't think he had that many.
Hey, I mean, here's the crazy thing. This will get you heated up. Ken Rosenthal, right?
I like Ken.
The 8-game suspension for Joe Kelly in a 60-game season is the equivalent of a 22-game suspension in a 160-game season. Seems harsh.
But that's the mindset of baseball, and someone just texted in. It's a part of the game. Nope. Throwing 96 at somebody's head, if that's a part of your game is stupid.
Everybody doesn't have that chip on their shoulder, Joe. You clearly I love it. I love the passion. I love it. My point in saying that is that it doesn't make – this guy is clearly a guy that is a habitual line stepper, right? I mean, he's constantly pushing the envelope. He's constantly testing the discipline aspects of Major League Baseball. He's testing the opponents, making them bite their tongue. It's just one of them things where it's written all over this situation where Joe Kelly gets 8 games. This ain't about one guy getting thrown at. Quit making it about that. It's not about one mistake in a moment. It's about several of them. He took the mound with bad intentions, and he deserves every bit of this 8-game suspension.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, more coming out of Minute Maid with the Astros. Tonight is a big game as they play the Dodgers again. And Clint, today, courtesy of Dusty Baker, George Springer is going to be out of the lineup today. And words from Dusty is, reasoning is for him to clear his head. He is off to a 1-for-20 start, and he has struggled mightily, batting .050. Well under the Mendoza line. He struggled. And this, to me, is bigger than just giving somebody a day off. This is game six. And a game or season where there's only 60 of them. You need them. You're having injuries left and right. This is one of your guys. This is bigger than, he's just needing a day off.
Yeah, it appears to me, like, obviously Dusty knows. He knows his players as well as anybody. He's a player's coach in a sense of he coaches by feel. He obviously pays attention to body language. He's obviously been there before as a former player. He feels like at this point in time, there's reason for extreme measures. And that extreme measure is sitting Springer down, letting him clear his head, get some time in the cage, maybe get multiple sessions in the cage over the next day and a half, which I'm sure I'm sure it started last night. Probably has happened once or twice today already. But get those cuts in the swing in the cages. Get to a point where you're seeing the ball better. And the main part with this is clear your head. I've been so frustrated before playing ball that you can't even get through progressions and you can't even execute a play the right way. And I've got to believe after we watched him last night, you recognize in the eighth inning not leg out a ground ball. Clearly, he's in a bad place mentally.
Yeah, he is. It was a chopper. He had a chance to beat out. And for me, and my eyes looked like, that's unusual for George Springer, the leader in the clubhouse, to not do that.
You know, one thing, Show, is that glass half full guy, you're looking at Tucker's batting .400.
I was going to say, what do you think about what's coming off of that? Tucker's leading off and the fastest guy in the major leagues and maybe in the world, Miles Straw, is playing center field and batting.
Yeah, I like Tucker in the leadoff. I don't like him more than Springer when Springer's hitting, but I like the adjustment. He's batting .400. He's seeing the ball well, tracking the ball well. He's making good contact, and he's a guy that I think you see how he handles the pressure of being the leadoff versus the Dodgers in game two of a 2-game series. And look, this is a win, man. I mean, we know Springer at some point is going to come out of this thing and he's going to be George Springer. What you don't know is you don't know if Tucker is a guy that can handle the big lights, the bright lights, the big stage, lead off in this situation. And we'll see how he handles the pressure. If he handles it well, the biggest problem Dusty Baker has on the offensive side of things with the Astros is you got to figure out what to do with Correa. You got to figure out what to do with Springer. You got to figure out what to do with Tucker. Oh, by the way, Yordan Alvarez is coming back in a couple of weeks. You got to think, where are you going to squeeze him in? I mean, the biggest problem for Dusty offensively is how do you keep all these bats in the
lineup?
That's a great problem, though. Oh, beautiful problem.
It's a great problem.
Hey, don't forget, I mean, we talked about other Tucker's a 30-30 guy, 30 home runs, 30 stolen bases. I mean, he's a legit leadoff. Again, well,
fans have been waiting on his ass.
Right. I'm not saying he should be there over Springer, but I am saying that this is a guy that can make a whole lot of noise if he continues to progress.
We should see better. He's got Altuve protecting him behind him. He's going to get pitches. He's got Brantley behind him. He's going to get pitches. He's got guys behind him, or he should get better pitches. So, Kyle Tucker, Tampa Tuck, you're up.
5 o'clock fire.
Because the day is crazy, what we said this earlier is, God, Eric Gordon goes down and gets injured in a summer league scrimmage, and we can't even find a way to talk about it. Well, yeah. Here is the latest. Houston Rockets guard Eric Gordon is feared to be lost for 1 to 2 weeks because of a left ankle injury he suffered in a scrimmage last night. Sources tell Adrian Wojnarowski the Rockets are expected to have a clearer sense of Gordon's injury at some point today when he's reevaluated. X-rays were negative. Coach Mike D'Antoni said if he's ailing, if this is a problem for a lengthy amount of time, this is a big problem for the Rockets.
Either way, ankles are a bitch, man. I mean, it's one of them deals where you just go – I mean, even when you get back to where it's weight-bearing, you can run, you can jump. It's the weakness aspect of it. It could roll again at any point in time. It's not going to hurt as much initially, but it will swell up. And if you can't ever get that joker to get back to full strength, which he will never do in a two-week span, it's going to be a problem in the playoffs. It's going to be a problem for the Houston Rockets. It's going to be something that you got to hope and pray that he doesn't sprain it again. If he can keep it upright, you know, for the majority of the regular season, if he does sniff some of that, and then the beginning of the playoffs, you hope that things strengthens back up and he's able to go full go. Because as you said, Show, I mean, look, him being full speed, him being healthy, is really how the Rockets are going to be able to make a run and possibly win this thing.
Yeah, they got to have him. They have to have him, and he's the third guy that has to get going to help them, because the biggest thing that he does for this team, he allows Russell Westbrook and James Harden not to have to be superheroes every single night out against really, really good teams in a series.
Yeah, so, and the thing is in this circumstances that the NBA's in, where they're playing in a bubble, when it's cutting time, you got to have your best five players on the floor. Yep. And it's clearly P.J. Tucker, Robert Covington, Eric Gordon, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden. And so to be without one of those guys because of an ankle injury would be a serious problem.
Everybody popped champagne that Clint just rattled those five off so fast and so quick like it wasn't nothing.
Didn't even have to look at you and say, help me out here,
The Texans offensive line?
Come on. Do it.
That what he does? Low nose. All right, Brandon Scott of SportsRadio610.com will join us. He was right there today with Dusty Baker. And he, I want to know if Dusty is still intense from the talk today. We'll get the latest in terms of suspensions and everything that is happening around this situation with the Dodgers and the Astros. Brandon Scott coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Oh, yes, the biggest story in sports happens to be the biggest story in Houston right here in this ballpark. And Brandon Scott of SportsRadio610.com is with us. And you were there, man. You were there for the Zoom conference, I guess, last night and today. We see the suspensions. Joe Kelly, who probably, in my opinion, should have gotten more, but 8 games in a 60-game season is pretty high. Joe Kelly getting 8 games. Dave Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers, getting 1 game. And now Dusty only fine. Was there any surprise? What was the mood? Did they think something was going to come down from the Astros side of it that they may get suspensions or anything like that?
I don't think that the Astros thought that they would get any suspensions. I'd imagine that Dusty might even be surprised that he's fine. When we talked to him, that was right before that news had come down. Like, and you got, like, you guys were playing the cuts around that time is when the news came down. So we're talking about half an hour, 45 minutes, something like that. So we didn't get into that. But when we talked to him and asked him about it, or I think it was Mark Berman, actually, who just asked him straight up, have you heard from Major League Baseball? His answer was no. Long pregnant pause and no. So Dusty hadn't heard from Major League Baseball at all when we talked to him just a couple hours ago. And apparently Dave Roberts had. So it seemed like, based off of that, off of talking to Dusty and then seeing the reports that were coming out of the Dodgers media, that the league was focused more on the Dodgers and figuring out what they were going to do with Joe Kelly.
What about the incident last night? I mean, you heard some things, and it, I mean, the situation with COVID-19 allowed, I think, everybody to hear some things. Walk us through your experience last night of actually being there.
Yeah, I just feel like it's the perfect storm because, I mean, I know you guys talked about this yesterday, but it wasn't originally set up for them to play each other in this sort of situation. COVID-19 set that up to where the schedule is set up the way it is, where you play your corresponding divisions, West and West, American League and National League, and that's how we got here in the first place. And the Dodgers had not been here since 2017. We all know this already. And so then you bring that into this situation where there's no fans, and I feel like all of the players just felt comfortable being themselves. And whether they would have done this with fans or not, the folks that were there, and we're just talking about media personnel and folks that work for the teams, the folks that were there could hear pretty much every word, every FU, every cuss word that I cannot say under an FCC-regulated program. You heard it last night.
Dusty was letting it fly.
And I've already been on, I think I was on In the Loop a couple of weeks ago explaining to Landry Locker that Dusty is a sharp cusser, and we got to see that. We got to see how he holds it down. You know what I mean?
A sharp cusser.
Well, I think
little effort.
The segment was the art of cussing, and he doubted Dusty Baker's cussing ability.
Oh,
and I told him, no, look, I've been in a room with Dusty cussing, and the man gets down.
And
the world saw that last night.
You can't carry toothpicks the way that Dusty does and not be a sharp cusser.
Come on.
Like, you can't just rock toothpicks like Dusty can and not be a sharp cusser. Like, that don't make no sense.
But to be able to hear the tension, Clint, to the point that you asked about, to be able to hear it live, like actually normally in a game, between innings, you hear what? Music, you hear fans, you hear everything but the players.
Right.
But in this case, all you could hear was the players and the FU.
That's what I'm wondering. Like last night, Brandon Scott with the SportsRadio610.com. How hot were they after the game in the Zoom press conference? Like, could you feel still fired up? I wish Los Correa could have got to somebody's mic because I would have loved to seen the place that he was in. But were they still riled up afterwards?
I wish we could have talked to Carlos Correa because the sound, like you guys,
I'm
probably.
Sorry. I'm sorry. His name is
Los. I'm sorry to address him, appropriately on this show. I will Please. Address him as Los. My apologies to you guys and to Los. But if they had allowed Los to speak to us, y'all could have done your whole 4-hour show on whatever. I'm telling you. But if that had happened, you guys could have done that. We got Alex Bregman, and he was the same Alex Bregman that he was in spring training.
Disappointed.
Visibly upset, but not wanting to. Like, Alex, I get the sense that he really wants to respond on the field. Like, he's really about the baseball world in that kind of sense that he wants to actually respond on the field in sort of the corny way that doesn't give a lot of credence to the back and forth in the fight like Carlos does. You know, like, we get to talk about that. Alex wanted no parts of it, man, but you could tell he was upset. You could tell in that at bat when you look at his face that he's upset, and that was the same face we got in the Zoom, and obviously you guys heard how Dusty went off.
That's not how Clint saw it.
No, I didn't. I mean, I can respect the wanting to handle it between the lines kind of guy. I'm not going to get on here and talk about, he should have charged the mound, and I can't believe he threw at him. I mean, all those things are like, you know, I get it, but you can't – catcher can't be set up low and outside on the outside half of the plate on a 3-0 count and the dude throws 96 behind your head and you don't even cut your eyes at him. Like, that's just man. That's man to man. Like, I got to see you. I got to let you know that I know.
Clint, it's there, though, man. There is a gaze in this dude's eyes. Like, Alex Bregman, as we know, is not some shy, quiet character.
No, I feel like he's losing the swag.
No, but that's one way. That's one way to look at it. But to me, he's just bottling it all in, and I'm actually worried about him because whatever it comes out, it's gonna be volatile as hell.
Yeah,
you know that's the impression that I get. That there's a lot of pent up, a lot of what you're talking about, Clint, is in there, and he is just holding it in.
Yeah. I guess maybe Brandon Scott with us, Sports Radio 610.com.
I just can't help it. You know, like, I got caught. I screwed up. I feel bad about it. But you ain't just going to disrespect me.
I hear you,
like,
Clint.
That you're just not going
to. Well, that's beyond disrespect. You're now putting.
You're not going to threaten me.
Yeah, you're like, putting my life.
Yeah, you're not going to threaten me. Like, I get it. I get all of it. I get the whole thing with Bregman and the coach speak and the keeping it between the lines and being – you know, very selective with his words, but man, at some point in time,
yeah,
I need some genuine, sincere, like, you're going to respect me as a man. Hell with this baseball. I don't give a damn where we're at. Like, you're going to respect me as a man.
It is the retaliation doesn't fit the crime. Like, it just, like, hey, man. Hey, dog, y'all cheated. All right, man.
Well,
let me throw this ball 96 at your head. It just that does not make sense in a retaliation.
No, I agree. And the crazy part, and you can answer this, B. Scott. I mean, the crazy part to me is that you got cats, Ken Rosenthal. I mean, he equated the 8 games in a 60 game season to 22 games in 160, and then said it was too harsh.
Yeah.
Like, how do you? I'm now I'm with Show on that aspect of it. Like, now I'm like, if you don't understand the dude threw 96 at somebody's head and it could have changed his life forever. I mean, like, we can't sit here and act like the punishment was too harsh when that was a possibility.
And it's not like there's not an example. Kirby Puckett, like, he got banged in the eye in a spring training game on accident.
Right.
And it changed his whole life.
Well,
so
the ironic part is that baseball writers, specifically in the baseball world, is so often to take the moral high ground on things and to go opposite direction on this when you're throwing at a guy's head is a little baffling. But I got something on this, though, because I asked Dusty just a little while ago directly about this. I said, Dusty, do you think that there is, like, when you look at these unwritten rules, do you think that there is some sort of hypocrisy and some sort of slippery slope that's allowed? Because think about the sign stealing. It's okay to steal signs if you're on second base. There's a way to steal signs, but if you do it the way the Astros
you can use the electronics, but you just can't bang the garbage can in real time.
Well,
I see what you're saying.
The slippery slope allows you to take that next logical leap, though. You're saying, hey, yeah, you can steal from second base. Well, why wouldn't the more innovative person, the more innovative mind think, well, you know what, I'm going to do that a little bit better. And that's basically what the Astros did.
Right.
And it's the same logic on throwing a fastball at a guy's head. And put this on Dusty too, and the whole baseball culture where it's okay to throw at a guy's arm or at his leg, but once you throw it at the head or below his belt, but once you throw it at his head, now that's a problem. But that's a problem for Dusty, but not a problem for all these people that are celebrating Joe Kelly today. It's the slippery slope, and it's logically inconsistent whole way through.
And the part about it is, it's got to be below the belt. Like 98 at your kneecap ain't gonna do some damage.
But you know what, Show? I get the logic in that, but it's dangerous.
That's what I'm saying. It's still dangerous.
Like, I get what they're saying. Like, yeah, it makes more sense if you want to send a message. Hit me where I got some flesh instead of, like, at my skull. I get that. But it's still a dangerous, slippery slope.
Real quick, B. Scott. They're sitting down George Springer today.
Yeah.
What was the thought in? Because sometimes you can hear people say things, but you can kind of see. Is there any thought of disappointment in Springer? Is this just more of a, hey man, we gotta help him get himself together?
It sounds like self disappointment. Like, you know, we didn't talk to Springer about this. We just talked to Dusty. But reading between the lines a little bit, it sounds like Springer's really down on himself. Like, now he's at the point where he's going up there and he's pressing a little bit because he didn't get a hit the last time, and so. I think Dusty's quote was like, yeah, I've been there where it seems like you got
counting
8 outfielders and 6 infielders, you know, something dramatic like that, where it seems like double the amount of defenders out there and you can't find the gap to save your life. And so from reading between the lines and hearing Dusty, it sounds like with George, there is, I don't know, I wouldn't call it confidence because he's George Springer, but
There's some frustration.
There you go. And so he's in the cage today and trying to get right, get his mind right.
All right. That's Brandon Scott Manett. That went by fast. That's Brandon Scott, sportsradio610.com. Check him out. He's got great stuff, great stories on the website.
If he really liked you, he'd have gave you a 535 segment.
Oh, man.
He cut you short.
He's mad at
I'll
me.
Be honest with you.
He's mad at me about my list.
Well,
that's what I'm just going to tell you.
I love your list, show, and I agree with your
point. Wait, you're
mad
about his list?
His list. I love the list, and I agree with his premise about Tiger King. We're on the same page, but your commentary on The Wire is unfortunately, and it's not your fault because you only watched it once, and this can happen to somebody if they only watch it once, and you said you couldn't get through it. But you have to watch it again, season two specifically, to understand what The Wire was doing.
What the hell?
Doing.
I want to watch something again that took me a year to get through it the first time.
Real quick, I don't want to run out of time, but let me just tell you what The Wire did, the reason why you're frustrated. The Wire confused you. The Wire made you think that it was a show more exclusively about a particular black experience in Baltimore. And then season two showed up, and you were like, who the hell are all these white people?
That just said it was a different, it was like a completely different show, but even the same characters.
But they were setting up a complete narrative about just society, economic strife, and the education system, racism, the drug war. And they were piecing it all together in a way that seemed disjointed at the time, but in retrospect, and when you realize what season two was setting up and trying to explain to you, that the show wasn't just about killing and gangs and dope, but it was about some more real life issues and how it all related. And I think maybe if you give it another chance, show. That's all I'm saying.
But it didn't come across that way.
You got to give it another
12
chance,
months
show.
To watch it. All right, B. Scott, appreciate you joining us. Coming up, I want to dig a little deeper in George Springer because I think it's more than just self getting on himself. I think they were a little disappointed at something they saw last night. We'll get into that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
God, man, I'm gonna hate the Dodgers. I'm just gonna hate the Dodgers. And like, a full disclosure, man, I'm not gonna sit here and just act like I just arrived here a couple months ago and I'm a huge Astros fan. But I'm just going to hate the Dodgers because they are all stupid asshats. I just want you to hear this. I just saw this brought to me that they got a new T-shirt already. They got a new T-shirt that says, "Nice swing, bitch." And it's got Joe Kelly walking off with that stupid face he made towards Los Correa.
If anybody that would wear that shirt, come on, man.
You ready? Here is Ross Stripling, and this is a fella that George Sedano mentioned yesterday. He said he was a guy that came out in spring training when all this first came out about the Astros cheating. He said he would be willing and would throw at an Astros player. He's not pitching in this series. But he said earlier today that Joe Kelly's facial expressions were one of the funnier things I've ever seen on a baseball field, and that the Dodgers are all excited because they're going to have these new T-shirts they're going to wear for batting practice. If they walk out there and wear them damn T-shirts during batting practice on the field at Minute Maid, like, first off, like, to me, y'all already suckers if you're going to tell me you thought what he did was cute.
Yeah, it's not. That, I mean, and
those facial expressions?
It's not at all. And I'm very aware of, like, I've got a different personality than most baseball players. Like, in college, you know, everybody hangs kind of with everybody. There was one basketball player there that hung with us, one baseball player. So usually athletes have different personalities, different ways of going about things. And I have a hard time relating to a lot of successful college baseball players. Not all of them, just some of them. And so this is one of those things where I'm like, I can't even relate to thinking that's funny. Like, as a man, and I'm not mad about throwing at Bregman. I'm not beat up about it. I just don't, like, how do you threaten a man's life and then walk away making facial expressions? Like, those two things can't follow each
like
other.
Like, for you to think that that's cool if you're missing Ross Stripling, a pitcher for the Dodgers, who earlier, when all this first came out, said he would be one that would throw at the Astros. Apparently, the Dodgers have new T-shirts made that say, "Nice swing, bitch." These are the comments that Joe Kelly said to Los Correa once he struck him out. they've got T-shirts, and they said his Joe Kelly's facial expressions were one of the funnier things I've seen on a baseball field, and that the Dodgers are all excited because they all have new T-shirts to wear for batting practice. I'm serious, man. Like that, like if
there
you're gonna
no
wear,
way
if you're gonna wear,
there.
Like seriously, we gotta handle this, dog. I'm coming out. I'm like, I see this post. God, somebody get Los. I see this post. Like, I'm sitting out here, and I'm just in the club. I'm waiting. I'm walking out here, and if they got them shirts on, man, I mean, we just got to have a conversation.
You going to fight all of them?
We got to have a conversation man-to-man, dog. We got to have a conversation. And, like, who's coming? You coming with me? Like, I know you coming with me. We got to have a conversation.
Teresa didn't raise no punk.
I'm just saying, man, like, because I'm already fired up because you want to do sneak attacks to get back. I mean, now y'all going to wear these shirts? Like, even more to let me know, yeah, man, we did that on purpose. Like, we good. Like, no, man, we
got
to have a conversation.
We planned on it. We stand behind it. That's kind of, yeah, we stand behind our guy who just got fined 8 games by Major League Baseball. Yeah, no, I would think, show, this is one more reason to be in front of your TV in about 20 minutes when this thing tips off to see what in the hell. In fact, I would get there by about 6 to see what they're warming up in. But show, I got to believe that Major League Baseball would come down hard on the Dodgers if they pulled some stuff like that in warm-ups.
You think even wearing them?
Yes.
Because yeah, they're inside again. I mean, how you going to stop? Are you going to stop them? Like, you think Rob is, like, saying we're going to get you for wearing stuff? Like, maybe, like, I mean, they've already been fined. They don't care about getting fined. They lost a reliever, lost their manager for a game. They just don't care.
It's just lame. It's so tired. It's so tired. So weak. So
that's what
it's. I mean, literally. I know I use the phrase all the time: alligator mouth, hummingbird ass. This is a visual of what that means. Throw it a guy's head, threaten a guy, chirp as you're walking off, and do absolutely nothing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how can y'all like? I'm with you. You said it earlier. Like, Doug, I make fun of your ass. If that's what you did, like, you coming out hard, man. You coming out, I'm coming out hard, man. I'm going to throw at your head. And afterwards, I'm going to stick my tongue out at you.
I'm telling you.
Can you find out how old Joe Kelly is?
He's 32, I believe.
Is he 32 years old?
I believe 32.
Your ass is 32 years old,
that's
Joe.
What you got.
That you come up with.
That's what you brought to the table.
Come on, man.
Hey, that looked like old Tyson Fury when he was fighting old Wilder.
At least Tyson's throwing punches.
Yeah. That's the crazy thing to me. That's
the funniest thing I've seen on a baseball field.
Show, that's the craziest thing about baseball that I can't. Like, if Bellinger felt as passionate and as disrespected as his comments made it sound, last night would have been a perfect time to make some noise, right? Would have been perfect. Jock Peterson.
I missed exactly what he said. Jock's not even playing. He said he was out
of the dugout last night.
He said we landed in Houston. Bang. That's what he did, like the trash can.
Right. But just if you're that beat up about things, then last night would have been a perfect example. And you didn't. That's just – it's so
but
soft,
you're not about
man.
It. Like, you're not about it, man. Don't put no T-shirts on. Don't sneak attack, throw the ball at me. Don't stick your tongue out at me and stuff.
If I was Astros, I'd come out in my 2017. I'd warm up in 2017 World Series champ T-shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'd warm up in.
Like, I come out with trash cans on the field. Like, I'm
wearing
just,
trash bags, warm up in trash bags.
Man, that thing that Missy Elliott wore in that video. I got, yeah, like seriously, like, because I'm telling you, Los is ready to snap. Like, he's going to erupt like Dante's peak. Like, the look in Los Correa's eyes was a dude in a club who had just bought a brand new fresh pair of J's, and I'd say maybe the 12s. A brand new fresh pair of J's. Somebody stepped on him, and he'd been eyeing that cat all night long because he didn't put a scuff on his brand new J's that he just bought.
Los Correa!
That's how Carlos, now it's dead, Los was walking around Minute Maid Park. Somebody stepped on my damn J's
so
in his
everybody
club.
Out there that's heard about some kind of fight at a bar or club or maybe a fight in the parking lot, that's how they – and you wonder why. I mean, you got drinks, you got ladies, you got your buddies. Why you want to be the guy that wants to fight? There you have it.
You just stepped on
my J's. Somebody stepped on J's Jordan – I mean, shows Jordan 12. There you go.
But no, I just specifically
a 12. Why a 12?
I like that. 12 is one of my favorites. I know you love 12, the ones.
12, I love the ones. I love the 11s. I love the threes.
I wore the fours yesterday. But yeah, I can't get it. Someone on the text line from the 913 said, "Is it fair?" And that's Kansas City. Somebody from 913, appreciate you listening all the way from there. "Is it fair to say that you'd feel the same way if the Dodgers cheated and the Astros lost in 17? Most likely, can we at least agree that last night did the Dodgers and the Astros gave MLB a spark they needed to?" I'm fine with it. I love the intensity. I love that. But the sparks needs to stop when you start endangering people. To me, if I'm this mad and this touched, if I'm a player for the Dodgers, I'm not doing sneak attacks. Like, I'm gonna handle it like a damn man and come face to face and talk to you.
Get on the mound, little fuck.
Yeah, I'm gonna handle you. I'm gonna handle it man to man.
You got a problem with the threatening of the life. I got a problem of threatening the life and then Maul walking back to the dugout. That's the deal with me, is it just don't add up. But that's a lot of baseball. Now, I'll be honest with you. That's a lot of baseball. The whole bench clearing thing and nobody ever throwing a punch is like, let me tell you, Dusty Baker's holding you back? Like, wait a minute. Dusty held you back?
It's been 84 years.
Like, come on, man. If you're going to take all – I mean, dudes ran from the bullpen last night.
Tired when they got up
tired.
There.
Bro, it was 100-plus yards, I guarantee you.
Tired as hell.
Tired. Get all the way out there and then just kick the old baseline, just kick the rocks. Like, what in the hell are you doing? All the way out there for that? I never will understand that. So, I'm not surprised at how old boy responded. I just, the combination of being such a badass where you threaten a dude's life with a baseball and then jog off the mound the opposite direction and do what? What'd he do, show?
Stuck his tongue out
little six-year-old kiddo facial expression.
And then his teammates. That's funny. His teammates is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Wankster.
That's weak. That's just weak, man. That's just weak. I'm sorry. Could you imagine that? Who'd you play with? Could you imagine Emmitt Smith sitting there, Darren Woodson, and George Teague? George Teague took out T.O. and took off his helmet and did.
I can't even take you serious over there.
You think Woodson would be over there saying, "Oh, that was funny"?
You know, one guy that I was thoroughly disappointed with, and not talking about Bregman, Mark Schlereth. I want to get him on. Hopefully, he said his new favorite players, Joe Kelly.
I told you, man. That's the thing. Like, we heard a caller say Shannon Sharp was out there laughing and saying they were justified. Like, many people feel like the Dodgers were screwed over because, once again, if you're just joining us, Joe Kelly, he's been suspended for 8 games, and at almost $400,000 he's going to lose for those 8 games. And then Dave Roberts is suspended, and the only discipline to the Astros is it's not even any suspension, just a fine to Dusty Baker. Many people are going to believe that the Astros got screwed over because now Joe Kelly's been punished more than any Astros player got punished for the sign stealing.
Oh, this is great.
But that's because your silly ass did it.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't got yourself punished more than any other Astro player did. But a lot of people around the league, I've seen other players being weak talking about, "Oh, Joe should have never been suspended." What do you mean he should have never been suspended?
It's tough to wrap your head around at this point. I mean, I can sit here and tell you, show that I don't. It doesn't surprise me. I don't have a whole hell of a lot of a problem with the thought of, like, major league, like, opponents, particularly pitchers, the guys that should be mad that the Astros were banging trash cans. I don't have a whole hell of a lot of a problem with little chin music here and there, little throwing at the lower body like you and B. Scott were talking earlier. I don't necessarily have a huge problem. I don't like it, but I don't have a huge problem with it. But you go to the links of what Joe Kelly did, it changes the game. And so for people, for other athletes who advocate for concussions in football,
that's what I was
and things
say.
Of that nature, and benefits for retired players in football, to go, "Oh, well, I'm my new favorite player is a guy that just whizzed did a flyby on Bregman's head with a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. I'm not mad at him. The thought process is strange to me.
Like, I always think, isn't there a fraternity with it? As a former athlete, there's like a fraternity, not just with your team, but the other players in the league. Like, you don't want to see people get seriously hurt.
Yeah, like, yes, like, absolutely.
Like, there's like a thing between amongst players understanding how hard this job is, what you're doing, like how much money you're bringing in to help support your family, and many people supporting all kinds of people within their families. To think like, yeah, man, we're gonna like ex-players, like, yeah. Hell yeah, hurt somebody, to sit somebody down for – like, that blows it for me.
Put yourself – here's the interesting deal, Shel, and this is – you don't have to be an ex-player. Anybody listening, like, put yourself in the position of standing on the mound and somebody that's done something to you is at the plate. And I ain't talking about messing with your old lady, whatever you mentioned earlier. I'm talking about just somebody that pissed you off somewhere along the way, stole a sign or something, stole 10 bucks from you or something, and you're on the mound – like, what would it take for that individual to have done for you to decide that you're fixing to uncork 96 at his head?
I can't understand what – there's not anything that can happen.
And then how can you, on the flip side of it, think it's not a big deal? These are all – like, I'm not in awe. These are all just questions where I'm going, how does that mindset make sense?
I don't get it. There's nothing that could be done where it says, I'm a do it. I'm a dot him. Because have you ever noticed how a stadium and all the players, how shook they get when a batter hits a ball and it comes right back at a pitcher and hits the pitcher
in
the head?
Oh, yeah. Place goes silent. Yeah.
Oh, it gets shook. I mean, shook. But y'all would go and pitchers would go and do it. The same thing, almost, on purpose.
Yeah, it's beyond me, like, man. You have, I don't, like, the you mindset have, is totally different. I just, and like I said, I can understand where you would be completely worked up because you are worked up about it. I'm 6'1", way half dozen another, but I can't understand the thought process behind it all.
Like, these guys think they have pinpoint control. I watch. Sometimes you want to hit the outside corner, and it comes back in a little bit. All right, I'm gonna throw it at his hip. If you miss a taste, and I'm stepping in to swing, and you miss just up a little bit,
get your no knee
that up. Like, if you're aiming at my hip, I'm stepping in to swing, and you miss up a little bit. That's my face, and you were meaning to go to the hip. Y'all ain't got pinpoint accuracy. It really penetrates it a little bit harder. Like Josh James, if you walking your ass out there thinking, all right, I'm gonna dot him in his hip. I've watched you, Josh James. You don't have pinpoint accuracy.
Hey, I wish y'all could see. Here's what I wish. I'm still pissed off at Bregman. I'm disappointed in Bregman.
I know you are. I'm getting there too.
I wish that our listeners could see your eyes right now when you're looking. Like, he's mad at me. Like, Show's mad at me when he's talking. Like, that's what I wish Bregman would have done last night. That's it.
The way
you were just looking at me, I threw a baseball at your head.
I'm telling you.
That's what I wanted Bregman to do last night.
I just don't get it. And these guys and other players defended. Oh, he shouldn't have been suspended. What? what are you talking about? A move tonight out of the lineup. The lineup's changing. And by the way, we'll have the lineups coming up in a big one tonight. George Springer is out. George Springer is out of the lineup tonight. Dusty Baker saying that he needs to kind of clear his head. Last night, I was a bit disappointed, Clint, in him. In the eighth inning, I thought there was a chance for him to beat out a ball. And it appeared that George Springer wasn't giving max effort. And I think there was a clear play, a bouncer to the shortstop that he could have beat out to start a rally. They were just down by three at the time, and he was coasting. And you don't expect that from George Springer. George Springer is a guy that has all the intangibles and the leader in this clubhouse. That, to me, was disappointing. I'm not sure that had anything to do with why he's not playing today, but that was something that stuck out to me after the game yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely – I think it definitely has something to do with why he's not playing today. I mean, you can get in your own head. You can start to doubt yourself. Even the greats can do it. I mean, if players get into the minor leagues and they can get the yips to a point where they can't even they can't hit the ball or can't throw the ball, then there's clearly, just because a guy has an unbelievable skill set and is a great player doesn't mean that he can't get in his own way. And clearly George Springer being 1-for-20 in the first five games this year, not legging balls out, bad body language. Dusty Baker's got a great feel for his team. In fact, I think it's one of the coolest things about his coaching style is knowing his players and being a former player, the feel. I think this is something that's obviously needed and Springer could benefit greatly from it.
Yeah. All right, tonight it is a 6:10 Wednesday. Right, today's Wednesday, right?
It is.
Yeah, game gets off at 6:10, and come on now. The Astros, they need to bring it back. They need to bring it back and get this W and split this two-game series. And I hope they're talking trash afterwards, too. But this is the starting lineups for your Houston Astros as they take on the L.A. Dodgers. And leading off in left field is Tampa Tuck. I love me some Tampa Tuck. Apparently, he was a 30-30 guy. We'll see about that tonight. In left field, leading off, Kyle Tucker. And batting second and playing second, he may be 5'6", but he carries the big stick. He shake, rattle, and roll coming at you, baby. Jose Altuve.
Excuse.
And batting third and playing third, Mr. Swagtastic himself, Mr. Nino Brown, a.k.a. Am I My Brother's Keeper? Hell yeah, you are. The real AB, Alex Bregman. And batting fourth, the designated hitter, Mr. Professional. Mr. Professional hailing from Bellevue, Washington, Michael Brantley. Playing first, baby. He's got championship hair rolling all through that thing. And he might wear a mask when you're at first base. The first baseman, Yelly! And batting sixth, Carlos is dead, baby.
Carlos Correa.
Los is in the building. Forever Los. Don't you dare call him Carlos, because Mr. She Knows.
She Knows.
Mr. She Knows is ready to roll tonight. He was all out of home runs last night and ready to kick ass. He'll do it again tonight.
She
Carlos
knows.
Correa. And batting seventh for Savannah, Georgia, Josh Reddick. And batting eighth, move over, Deion Sanders. Move over, Tyreek Hill. Move over, Ricky Henderson. The fastest man on the planet. Suck it, Carl Lewis. Miles Straw in center field. And catching the blonde bomber, Mr. Machete. Martin Maldonado. That is your starting lineups. Touch them all. Beautiful job today, Tyler. Clint, we had a lot of fun. Tomorrow, you don't want to miss it. Bill O'Brien will be live on the set tomorrow. He'll be live right here on Sports Radio 610 doing Clint Sterner and the show. Coming up behind us, John Harris and Mr. Mark Vandermeer. Texans All Access. Houston, I'm Ron, the show Hughley. We love you, baby. And the
sunlight hurts my eyes. Me and Coors Light and jump off in this pool.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.